it is. Play Express.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Or two at the races, just off with Marcus Hirsch going over the Louisiana Derby Day card and more. And Jay Privman, his colleague, standing by from the Daily Racing Forum Derby Watch. Jay, good morning.
Steve, how are you?
Have you been watching, I don't know how much cable movies.
The news?
You're watching the news. No, Jaws has been on almost seemingly continuously on cable yeah. lately. And it just so happens yet last night we were spinning the dial. And if there's nothing else, frequently Tina will surprisingly will stop on Jaws. And she just happened to stop on that scene after the terrible scene at the dock. And Richard Dreyfuss, Hooper goes over to see Roy Scheider, who's kind of despondent and says, "So, how was your day?" And it made me think of, it's like, how was your week?
been pretty
nuts.
Busy.
Yep. Yes. Well, Jay, you covered, you were out in front of a lot of this with the with Churchill making the predictable announcement. Some thoughts, first of all, and what else might have been considered, and then your conversations with Derby horse trainers.
So, right, as we know, the Derby's now been postponed by 4 months, and hopefully that'll be enough time for everything to return to some semblance of normalcy. I don't think Churchill Downs had a better option than that. I mean, we're at the stage now where there's no good solutions. It's just what's the least bad one. And postponing the Derby, I think, needed to be done because who knows if you'll even be able to have racing the first Saturday in May anywhere to begin with, the way things are, the way the dominoes are falling right now. But also, I mean, I do think that the Derby's not the Derby without a crowd. And I think the notion of running the Derby, even if you could run like some tracks are still operating right now where they're trying to run, but with nobody on site and just off track betting, it's just not what that event is. And I think if you can postpone it and try and run it the way it's intended to be run, that's the best of the bad options that are out there. So I didn't have a problem with what they did. There's going to be additional point scoring races to be determined, and I think that'll determine how a lot of horses are campaigned. I think the reaction from most of the trainers was, everybody understands the situation. I think the reaction varied from, I may have a chance now to run in the Derby, which is kind of where Brendan Walsh is with Maxfield, because he was going to run out of time, and that's why we didn't even have him on our Derby watch list. But we until now we've put him on because he's got a chance, a much better chance, obviously, of making it. And I think there are other trainers who, you've got, for instance, this weekend's the Louisiana Derby. It's still a Grade $2 million race, and just that alone makes it a worthwhile prize, irrespective of its 170 points overall and 100 to the winner. And if you've got a horse that's ready to go and the race is going to go, you go. And I think that's how trainers who have Florida Derby or at the moment Santa Anita Derby horses are going. And if and when that changes, they'll have to adjust.
Exactly. And I thought everybody was that you talked to and that you quoted, including Bill Mott and Bob Baffert and Mike Trombetta, everybody was kind of stoic and just, very understanding. And, I mean, what else can you do, really?
Nothing. Exactly. I mean, and, this was really where another occasion where I think having the scope of racing form reporters helped out. Dave Grenning and Marty McGee, we just carved up all the people we needed to to speak to, and we divided it up, and it's like, you take this person, I'll take that person, and we were able to reach, you know, a number of people and get a number of people's voices into that story very quickly, within just a few hours. And so that's, you know, that was one of the, so those guys were, you know, instrumental in that story coming about.
Jay, any clever, you know, positioning that you think that the industry could utilize here to take advantage somehow of this? I mean, you know, what's a best case scenario in terms of laying out, you know, what Naira is going to have to deal with? We're going to talk to Pat McKenna next. Any, you know, what strikes you as a way to make the best of it?
I couldn't even begin to tell you.
I hear you.
This
All
is
right.
such uncharted. This is such uncharted waters, and you know, who knows how much longer racing is going to be able to continue with the few places that are still able to run, and if you know, just today, you know, Maryland has shut down. California, I think, is hanging on by a thread at the moment. You know, Arkansas and Louisiana are still going. But, you know, if all those end up potentially going away, I mean, which I think you'd be naive to not at least consider that possibility happening. And then it's just a matter of when do things get to a point where you can start going again. And you know, I mean, hopefully things can keep going for the ones who, you know, who can pull it off successfully. But, I mean, even as we saw, you know, some of the disturbing images from last weekend at Oakland, you know, people need to be smarter about the heeding of social distancing.
True. Want to also, before we talk about what went on last week and get some Louisiana Derby thoughts, et cetera, I do want to ask about Del Mar, because I know earlier in the week you wrote a piece about what they might do in terms of the shared belief. You know, there was plenty of speculation. What were your Del Mar conversations like?
So, yeah, Steve Anderson wrote that story, but we had reached out to Del Mar because in light of the postponement of the Kentucky Derby, we thought it'd be smart to talk to them and, you know, in touch with Naira as well about what changes there might be to the stakes schedules in light of the Derby now being on September 5th. So, for instance, you know, is Naira going to move the Travers Stakes? Will Del Mar move the shared belief, which is a one, at the moment, it's been run as a one-mile race for three-year-olds towards the end of the meet? You know, maybe you run that in now early August and boost the purse and maybe lengthen the distance and turn it into a prep for a September 5 Kentucky Derby. Those are the kinds of things that are being contemplated. But, you know, nothing is set yet because we still don't know when we're going to be able to get back to some semblance of normalcy.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the quicker people are smart about this and then the quicker you can get back to things being normal. The more you drag things out, the longer it's going to take.
Exactly, exactly. All right. Well, let's talk about last week and its effect on your and Marty's vision for the Derby watch, and of course Bob Baffert. You know, the main focus really coming out of the weekend with Nadal and Charlton.
Right, so we'll start with the Rebel. You know, to me, the more I watched Nadal's race, the more I was amazed he won the race because he had No Parole and American Theorem hounding him early, and they both were beaten, what, like 27 and 45 lengths or something when it was all said and done. And Nadal turned those two back. He had to stave off bids from Three Technique and Silver Prospector coming off the bend into the stretch. And then there was the late run from Accession, who had been, you know, well back early and I think took advantage of the race shape and made a run at him, and he held him off, and you watch the gallop out and he stays in front. It was a pretty courageous performance. He's a, you know, as we've talked about on the show before, and hopefully if you haven't seen him in person, if you at least watch the tape, you can see what a big, strong horse he is. I mean, he's a real physical specimen, and I think that, you know, that served him well last week. I thought that was a really courageous performance on his part, and the, you know, that was a real example of sort of a handicapping 101 factor of pace makes the race, because he had no business winning the way it was run. And I thought he ran a remarkable race to hold on like that. As for Charlton, I got to admit, I was a little bit apprehensive about him being named Justify 2.0, even though the parallels were just so obvious. And I wrote about all the parallels,
right.
But I just thought, being by Spikestown, and it was just sort of too much to think that only 2 years later you could have a horse who might be in that kind of talent level for the same exact connections. But I thought his allowance race was wild. It was just a fast race, and the buyer figure was terrific, as was his first race. Now there's not the you don't have to gear him up for another big prep race right away to make a May 2nd Kentucky Derby. You've got more time now for this horse to be ready for the Derby. So that doesn't mean he won't run in a few weeks, because I think if there's a race and he's right, at this point I think trainers who have horses who are ready to go, and if there's an opportunity, you need to go. And not say, well, we'll wait and see what transpires, because we don't know what's going to end up transpiring down the line. But in terms of just a performance, I thought his race was sensational, even if he was running against, horses that are not as good as what he might run against down the line. But that wasn't a bad field. I mean, great power of Simon Callahan is a nice colt, and he clobbered him.
No, it was... I think people, the more they watched, both of the efforts were just amazed, and gives you something to look forward to. I mean, the Charlton situation, I mean, obviously with this Derby scenario, I mean, he's the horse that, I suppose, him and Maxfield are the two that are the giant beneficiaries of this.
I mean, they're the most obvious beneficiaries. I mean, who knows? There might be a horse right now who's just broke his maiden and who's going to get really good over the summer. The horses are a lot different in September than they are in May. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts to this. But in terms of the known factors, I agree with you. Those are two of the known factors that the more time will probably help them.
What kind of movement did the weekend forge in the top 20?
Well, there's basically three of the top four now on Marty McGee's line are Baffert trainees, along with Authentic, who remains the favorite on Marty's line. But Nadal's now the second choice, and then Tis the Law and Charlatan. Those are the top four in that order. The two newcomers onto the field, onto the Derby watch, we added Maxfield owing to the postponement of the Derby by 4 months, because we think very highly of him. We just didn't put it, like I was saying before, we didn't put him on the list because we didn't think he was going to be able to make the Derby.
Sure.
The calendar was working against him, but now he belongs on there. And we added Accession off of his second place finish in the Rebel. I thought he was obviously the beneficiary of a race shape, but it was certainly his best effort, and he certainly could be moving forward. And he's from a top barn, so so those are the two that that we added to the list this week.
Well, and plenty on the list that are engaging tomorrow in the Louisiana Derby. Jay, some thoughts how you're approaching this tomorrow?
That's a good race, a full field. As you know, I've been a pretty bullish on Enforceable. I really like this colt, and I liked his last race, even the runner-up in the performance in his division of the Risen Star, which was the faster of the two divisions that day. And he was well back early. He made a pretty aggressive mid-race move just to try and get into some sort of position, and then he had to sit and wait, and then he finished anew. And I like horses that can make moves like that. And I think he's going to continue to get better. He's obviously got a lot of experience under him. The mile and 3/16 won't hurt him at all. The race's distance has been increased this year from a mile and an eighth to a mile and 3/16. So, I liked him, and I still like him. And I think he's the best horse going in that field tomorrow. But there's several others in there who are certainly worthy rivals. I thought Wells Bayou being the most notable of them. I thought he ran a pretty strong race last time in the Southwest in terms of pace and how he ran vis-a-vis the rest of the field. The only quibble with that is that the horse who beat him came back and didn't run well last weekend in the Rebel Stakes. But just in terms of how Wells Bayou ran, I thought it was a strong effort, and I think he'll be a major player tomorrow in the Louisiana Derby. And then you've got all the horses, you know, who are either stepping up off allowance company to try this or are coming out of that other division of the Risen Star, you know, the one that was won by Modernist with Major Fed second, which I thought was that race was a cut below the division that
Monomoy
Enforceable comes out of, you know, and also Silver State ran in that division as well. So I kind of lean towards those ones, Enforceable and Silver State. But like I said, I think Wells Bayou, or Enforceable and Wells Bayou would be my, you know, my top two in that order, then Silver State after that.
Jay, I want to just add one invader, and I know that the other Urton, as it is, Royal Act, Peter's, both of Peter's horses are on the list, and you know, he is a one pace type that just wouldn't go away in the
Robert Lewis,
in the Lewis, thank you. And I like this move for him, the mile and 3/16, the 1300 foot stretch, 10-1 Royal Act opinion.
Yeah, no, I think he's got a shot. I know that even before this horse ran, Pete was very high on him. And the last summer when I did my 2-year-olds to watch story before Del Mar started, he was one of the ones that he was really high on, more so than at the moment. At that time, I thought even Storm the Court, from a long range standpoint, Storm the Court was more forward in his training at that point. But Royal Act, that was his, he had run twice on grass. The Lewis was his first start on dirt. He ran very well. Like you mentioned, he kept coming and coming. You know, the only thing that gives you a little bit of pause about that race is that the winner of the race, Thousand Words, came back and just did not run well last time out in the San Felipe. So it's kind of the thing that you sort of look at, the thing that gives you a little bit of pause about Wells Bayou. Same kind of approach. But, you know, I would certainly rank Royal Act as one of the leading contenders. I just like the other three better, but if I had to do sort of a graded handicap, I'm sure he would be fourth on the list. I liked his race last time. I think he's a good horse. Just the only thing that gives me slight pause is how poorly Thousand Words came out of a Lewis to run in the San Felipe.
Right. Well, he's built to relish the classic style trip, that Leighton Heat mare and American Pharoah, and there's some things to like. Well, Jay, we'll keep fielding the grounders as long as they're getting hit. Next week, Florida Derby, which could shape up to be really good, and then we should mention, because it's obviously going ahead, this UAE Derby. I mean, the horses that go are going to have plenty of time to recover and come home. And I've got four left: Rowdy Yates, Shotsky, Tis a Magician, and Wrecking Crew, all over there from domestic interests.
Right. Yeah. No. So. I hope I hope the help that have been sent with them can, be able to get back in good order, and then go through their quarantine. Well, the whole new world we're dealing with here right now.
Very much. And we'll talk to Marty and Mike Welch for next week. And the Florida Derby with some, obviously the importance of the race with or without this situation. Tis the Law and Independence Hall and more. All right, Jay, stay safe. Everything's okay How are you? You're just going to work from home, eh? You just, or have you gotten up to the track at all?
No, the state's under order to, you know, to not go anywhere unless you absolutely have to. And as you know, the media is not even allowed at Santa Anita now. So, we'll be working from home.
Well, and with Philippe,
that's the new reality of the moment.
Yeah, there's no with Philippe closed. There's really no reason to go to Los Angeles. It's heartbreaking. Jay, stay safe, and I appreciate it. We'll see the weekend through, and hopefully we can keep these balls in the air.
Let's hope so. But hopefully you and all your listeners are smart about this, because the smarter we are now, the quicker we'll get back to normal.
Exactly. Well said. Jay Privman, everybody, DRF Privman. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. 90 minutes in, 90 to come. Pat McKenna is going to join us from the New York Racing Association. He'll provide the background on the backstretch employee and his being and his roommate being quarantined, and if there's any potential once a period of time goes by, is there potential to, you know, pick it up and run again? Let's see everything there is to hear from Pat. We'll also see how much more conversation there's been about Belmont and Travers and so forth. People are concerned about Saratoga. I mean, there's only so many questions that can be answered, of course, at any point with this. But let's take the pulse when we come back with Pat McKenna, Nick Tamaro as well to follow, and much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstmann, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back, and second half weekend preview at the races, and we wish we could be previewing the cross-country pick five, for instance. But yesterday, news coming that a backstretch employee was positive for coronavirus, is quarantined with a roommate, and as a result... And of course, this is at Belmont, and you know the racing right now at Aqueduct. But as a result, NYRA suspending racing. Pat McKenna joins us from the New York Racing Association. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hanging in, and how you know, you and the family, baby? I'm sure you got the baby wrapped up in bubble wrap.
Yes, we do. We're home like so many other families across the country, you know, working from home and trying our best to keep the little one occupied. An update to what you just mentioned, the individual who tested positive yesterday at Belmont Park is now off the property recuperating. So we wish him well. And, you know, our focus has appropriately shifted to the backstretch, to making sure that that community of 585 people, as we speak, are being properly taken care of, as they always are. You know, credit to NYSA, and I'll just, you know, make a bit of a call to your listeners, the Backstretch Employee Service Team, who is charged with, you know, taking care of the health care, the health and wellness of that entire community is absolutely on the front lines of this right now. We have a clinic at Belmont Park. That is how this individual came to be tested, which we're thankful for. He presented symptoms last Friday. He was immediately isolated per the guidance of the New York State Department of Health, the CDC, all of the information that everyone who's listening is now well aware of. So, you know, NYRA's working closely with the Backstretch Employee Service Team, with the racetrack chaplaincy led by Umberto, with NYSA and Joe Applebaum, so that, you know, so that we're all coordinated. You know, NYSA is doing grab-and-go lunches for the entire backstretch, you know, and again, yesterday's step signals just, you know, obviously that this was always a fluid situation.
Sure.
And right now the appropriate thing is for us to focus 100% of our energies on keeping the backstretch safe and secure, making sure that the horses are well tended to, are well taken care of. Training is ongoing. We're working with NYSA to make any determinations about, you know, adjustments to that schedule. So, as you well know, and as everyone who's listening knows, these decisions are being made in real time, and we're taking them one by one, and being deliberative to, you know, when possible. But every decision is guided by health and welfare of everyone involved. There are a ton of stakeholders in this community, and we're all in this together.
Pat, is there... With that news, actually, that the patient in question is off the grounds, is there a quarantine-style period or a watch-and-wait period that could result in resumption of racing in relatively short order?
It's a good question. We are, you know, we're working hard to figure that out. And that is the most transparent way that I can put it. But, you know, I think we envision this as a pause, and we will come back as soon as as possible as soon as the conditions allow for it. You know, everyone in New York, which is clearly the epicenter of this coronavirus outbreak, is essentially under the same guidance, and that is to isolate, to work from home, to self-quarantine to the extent that that's possible. So that is not, you know, we are now all under that same kind of guidance from Governor Cuomo, from Mayor de Blasio, from all the responsible health agencies and professionals who are on the front lines of this fight.
Well, we applaud everybody. We happened to talk to Rick Schossberg, hours before the news broke, and Rick, was very, it turned out to be prophetic, unfortunately, saying, this could change at any time, and literally, 5 hours later, it did. We'll keep tabs, and I'll continue to provide links. I keep telling everybody about the nice project that Jessica Chappell started on Twitter, Railbird. She's got a compendium of backstretch support organizations coast to coast, including the Belmont Child Care Association and Best, and virtually people can add. It's a Google document. You can add your respective support team to the list, too. I'll send it out again today. Pat, let's shift gears to a couple of other topics that, had, you front and center all week. Discuss the reaction of the association to Churchill's decision to move Derby to September, and the obvious speculation that has been running rampant as to what it does to Travers, what it does to Belmont. What is the current thinking, and what is the timetable for decision making on these topics?
Sure. Obviously, with the caveat that these things are shifting and changing all the time, we are still in that process. We're in a bit of a more enviable spot considering the Belmont Stakes is scheduled for June 6th as opposed to the first Saturday in May. Even that, even that month is helpful in terms of being able to plan. A reminder that we have not actually released our Saratoga Stakes schedule for the 2020 summer meet. So, we are working through those conversations. I don't think that it would be responsible for us to come out with a date that then may change again. So, while we fully understand that these are dates that are important for the entire racing community and this ecosystem, we will announce these dates and any potential changes at the appropriate time.
Yeah, fair enough. Out of curiosity, because the public has very swiftly passed judgment on every part of these working elements. Was there discussion between the Downs and Naira at all about coordinated efforts, or was this a unilateral decision that Naira found out about it with the same timing as the rest of the public?
I don't think it would be responsible or professional to characterize those discussions. Those should be behind closed doors. But we're focused on moving forward with the 2020 Belmont Stakes at a time that makes sense for us. I think that I'll editorialize just a little bit and take off the Naira spokesman hat to the extent that that's possible and say that these are as uncertain times as we have ever encountered. And, to be bound by running a Triple Crown in order, just as one example, I don't think is the priority. I think the priority is for us to run these races as safely as possible at a time that makes sense for Naira so that we can reduce the economic uncertainty that individuals, hourly workers, trainers, backstretch employees, this entire ecosystem is facing. And that is our responsibility, and it's one that we take as seriously as any issue. And I think that every business across the country is facing these choices, whether you're a racetrack, a coffee shop, a restaurant. And that is where we are today. And it's why we felt it was so important to continue racing this past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're talking about dozens of small businesses. You're talking about those staff, hourly workers in the hundreds who had, you know, were able to get a paycheck because we were able to race safely with the doors closed to the public, with every single restriction in place to keep everyone safe. And it's a credit to people like Glenn Kozak, the maintenance team, the people that, again, you know, driving the tractors to get the track ready, the veterinarians, all of those people. So it's a long-winded answer, but, you know, that is our priority. And, you know, to think about it any other way isn't a reflection of the reality that we're facing right now.
Very fair. A couple of other, you know, little individual elements and some things that have come up. The horse population and the what is going to be a opportunity or a necessity for some to, you know, either come back to New York, or there might be some that are looking to leave New York. What kind of protocol is there about horses coming in to Belmont Park at this point?
I don't believe that we're allowing shippers, you know, again, these things are changing all the time. You know, our horse population right now is what it is. I don't know that we would be allowing any shippers, but again, these things are changing all the time.
Fair enough. There's been some talk about cutting back on training, potentially maybe a day or two a week.
Yep, and those conversations are ongoing. Yep, exactly. With the horsemen, with NYSA, again, trying to make decisions that make sense for all parties.
I gotcha. Pat, one of the most important things that people, I'm sure, have got to be concerned. How many times a day are you fielding calls from Andy? Is it over or under eight?
It's under.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate the opportunity to come on, Steve.
Pat, I appreciate it as well. As a final, pretty good week to introduce the no Lasix. That news just went out with the tide, huh?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. We committed to that effort in April. Nothing has changed since April when we made the announcement, along with all of the partners that signed on to it. At that point, we were clear that this would begin with 2-year-olds in 2020. So as of January 1st, 2020, that is the new playing field for 2-year-olds, and then that shifts to all stakes races in 2021.
Well, and we'll see about how it's handled in other jurisdictions as well. Pat McKenna, everybody, who does just a tremendous job. And Pat, stay safe, you and the family. And we hope that, you know, maybe the door swings back open here in shorter timing than longer.
As do we. Thanks, Steve.
Pat McKenna, the New York Racing Association, and that's interesting. He said the under eight calls from Andy. I think I'm at about six, I think. I appreciate Pat fielding, you know, a variety of questions, and it was completely unrehearsed too. So he didn't discuss with him what was coming either. So great job, Pat McKenna, everybody. Let's take a break, and you should be following Pat actually on Twitter too. And he's got his initial in there. It's P. It's P. I'll pull it up here. Give me 2 seconds, because he's got. I always have trouble finding his Twitter address for some reason. Also, while I'm doing that, let me give you further details from Eric Hamelbeck. And here's the specifics about the training center, okay, that we brought up a little bit earlier. This is in Paris Pike, and they've got stalls. You can call, and Eric Hamelbeck's office is at the training center. You can call Eric if you want directly, 859-707-1452, 859-707-1452, or Dave Dunning, who is the stall manager, 859-559-2138, 859-559-2138. That's Dave Dunning, the training center stall manager, or Eric Hamelbeck, and they'll help you and make arrangements if you're trying to ship up and you don't have a place to bed. So there's some help. I'll send this out too on Twitter, as well as with the link to their website and all the details. If you aren't familiar, it's a beautiful facility, really beautiful. So to reiterate from earlier this morning, Thoroughbred Center has stalls available for those that are displaced and finding it difficult to ship home to Kentucky. All right, let's take a break. And I got Nick Tamaro to swing in. We'll do some capping with Nick. We got Scully and DeRosa to get to. Chris Griffin before we wrap up for Texas Champions Night at Sam Houston. They got what, six or seven? 6 or 7 $75,000 stake races for the Texas Breds. And a lot of people are looking at that signal for the first time and enjoying it. And, of course, they've got the great pricing, the 12% takeout that has been really, of course, well-received. Nice work. Got about an hour and 10 to fill out what's been another indescribable week. It was hard to top last week, but might have been able to do it. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred racing at Sam Houston continues through March 28th with the March 21st Texas Champions Day on the horizon. The best Texas breds in the state or anywhere come together over $500,000 in purse money. Tuesday afternoon racing starts on March 10th. The 12% takeout on all multi-leg wagers has made SHRP the most popular destination for horse players this winter. SHRP.com, Sam Houston Race Park. Follow Sam Houston on Twitter as well. SHRP.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline. But not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darlie America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a woman, started talking. I took her home to get a few nips, but all I had was a mint julep. One mint julep was the cause of it.
One mint julep.
I don't remember just
how well, they taste different in the fall. Is a mint julep in the fall? Is it the same? Does it have the same snap? I don't know. That's a good question. It feels, it's a summer drink, right? So it's a summery-ish drink, right? Crisp, refreshing, et cetera. When I did drink, I don't know, it just wasn't my, although I never had, I never had somebody make one the way they're supposed to be made. You know, the real, with the muddling of the mint and the sugar and then the whole thing and then sitting. And if you read, speaking of mint juleps, if you read Wild Ride, the unbelievable Calumet story, and Hagedorn, she's got a story in there about Mrs. Markey. It was the the second husband. How could I forget his name? But about a story at an impromptu party, and Jean Markey making mint juleps for everybody, and each mint julep took like 40 minutes to make, in essence. And he spent the entire night behind a bar and making mint juleps for everybody in attendance. I don't know why that story sticks with me, but it does. Pat, I appreciated Pat McKenna joining us. Nick Tamaro now. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Hanging in here and kind of looking forward to wrapping up the week and decompressing a little bit, truth be told. been a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody, many people nationwide and pretty much every walk of life are looking for something along those lines. And, you know, leased racing's been there for to provide some normality. I refuse to use the word normalcy just because it was concocted by a president. It is not a word. But some level of normality, as abnormal as racing can be. But now we seem to face new challenges with that each day. So hopefully we can stave that off for a bit. And it's going to be, I think we can, we're not even a quarter of the way into it, but we can chalk up 2020 to a really odd set of days and months and whatever else linked up.
Well, I want to make sure for you, I mean, you're working from home and you've got the infant, so you've got a chance to spend some extra time with the baby. And in fact, of course, our son, Tina's son, Zach, and his wife, their new baby, and, you know, they're home. So it's kind of cool, actually, to, you know, get this kind of time, quality time to spend with your newborn.
Absolutely. It's been great. That has undoubtedly been a highlight of it. Seeing her all day long is great. Being home with my wife and her is plenty of fun. I'm enjoying that part of it very much. And it's a rainy day today in Houston, so we'll be inside even more. Maybe our little walk that we've been having each day might have to be postponed, but we can certainly make up for tomorrow.
Nice. Well, Nick, before we get a couple of plays from you, some thoughts about last week and, you know, the usual recapping. We didn't really get as thorough a chance because things were moving so fast. But, you know, we just talked to Jay Pribman a little bit ago and did some Derby watch with him and Haskin yesterday, et cetera. What was your impression of that Nadal performance? And then, of course, there's Charlatan, which God knows what we're witnessing with him.
You know, I think that with as far as Nadal goes, it was an effort that you have to understand the entire thing rather than to simply look at a speed figure or the race itself, you know, or the finishing position itself. You have to understand what he did along the way. And in setting that sort of insane pace and staying on, he ran obviously extremely well. He's a very, very talented horse. There's no question that Nadal can go a very fast pace regardless of distance. I think looking at it from more of a handicapper's perspective, I think the rail, as the day wore on at Oakland, got progressively better. I think he was certainly helped by that. I think the fact that Accession ran so well, granted with a very big pace setup as well, sort of lends some credence to that. The 23-1 shot that wired the nightcap while Joe Talamo hugged the rail sort of helps that argument as well. And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Serengeti Empress was great, but she was probably that good because she was definitely helped by the track profile. So that being said, I mean, Nadal is going to be a horse that, you know, if the Derby was run at the regular time, I think he would probably be one of the contenders. What do I think as far as the September 5th Derby? I think that Nadal, we'll know a little bit more about him by then, and I think he's probably going to top out at a mile to a mile and an eighth type of horse. He doesn't scream Derby type to me, but I will say that in the hands of somebody like Bob Baffert and with Joel Rosario as regular rider, I think you could see a little bit more development from him, and that wouldn't surprise me. So Charlatan seems like he could still be anything. He's another one that I'm not completely convinced that he wants to go a tremendous amount of ground, but boy, however far he goes, he's getting there fast. And he seems to be very, very talented. And Bob Baffert, of course, as often is the case with three-year-olds, I think probably benefits the most by the postponement of the Oaks and Derby because, you know, Charlatan and Gammon, respectively, in their respective genders, look like the best of the lot. So he stands to bring, you know, he usually brings, I think, something like a bazooka to Louisville. I mean, he stands to bring the whole artillery this time around. It's going to be, it's a very good result for him, as his barn has often, I mean, look, he's won the Eclipse Award twice in the last 5 years with horses that weren't even on the Derby trail. So this is something I think that will really play into his hands.
Yeah, I think it's hard to deny the quality here of both. And even if, you know, the distance ends up, you know, being an issue, this kind of horse with Nadal for Baffert, you know, he'll make whatever appropriate, you know, adjustment with him, because I was amazed, and it's funny, I picked him and I thought he was, you know, especially after that workout, the mile and a 16th workout that we ended up talking about a lot the week before. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, ugh, he can't possibly win this. And he just, you know, just managed to stay on. Now, of course, you know, accession coming out in the middle of the track, and it's hard to know. Those can be optical illusions, you know, when a horse is running at you. If the other horse doesn't see him, if he doesn't know he's there, you know, you're not getting the response necessarily. I mean, if they see them, they, you know, they respond. So I don't know how much of a threat late accession really was.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wouldn't have a strong argument against it. And Nadal was staying on very well. And as you said, both him bearing out and not knowing what the inside really, what kind of advantage it provided. You know, look, there's no denying it was accession running at him. I think in retrospect, what you can conclude also is that while the, and this is going to be ironic once we talk about the Louisiana Derby, but I think the speed figures belie the quality of the races at Oaklawn on Southwest Day. And I'm not sure really if Silver Prospector, as much as I have some fondness for him and liked him that day, I'm really not sure just how good he is. So I think that Nadal probably beat up on some questionable competition. It's very hard at this point to take like one or two races as a sample size to make a determination on horses. And that's going to be one of the nice things about the Derby being postponed by 4 months, is that we're going to have a lot more time to really get to know these horses. And I mean, the Derby is going to end up being more of like a, you know, the much maligned Breeders' Cup Derby idea that was discussed. It's just not quite as late in the year, but you know, we're going to know a lot about these horses by the time they get there. And that's going to be fun. It's going to take away some of the randomness of the Derby being in May, but it's also going to show us a little bit more about how they develop, what they are, what their distance limitations are, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, one horse that undoubtedly was really hurt by the trips that he had in the Rebel was 3 Technique. And, you know, with all due respect to Luis Saez, he's just not a really good fit for that particular horse. Luis Saez is a much more front-end oriented jockey. He wants horses that he can get in the game a little earlier. And 3 Technique is more of a one-run type that probably needed to be allowed to lay back and make one run. And he didn't. You know, he made a prolonged wide move that, with or without maybe an inside track profile, wouldn't have been effective. And I think he's a horse that, as time goes by, will end up improving, and especially if he gets into a lot of the right spots. But put 3 Technique in a race with some pace in front of him where he can just lay back and make one run, and I think he can certainly prove to be a lot better than he showed on Saturday.
Let's shift to tomorrow, and I am hearing quick aside about tomorrow. Chad Schexnader, who joined us yesterday, Chad saying that apparently TVG has pulled their staff, that they are bringing their staff home. So they're the coverage aspect. I mean, obviously the feed is one thing, but having personnel, I think part of this is, you know, interviews. I mean, as we saw from this fallout already from the Sean Payton illness, not that he's, you know, feeling badly per se from being positive with the corona. We'll get, I'm sure there'll be some official news, but as we start this conversation, Nick, a little concerned about what might be transpiring over there. So let's continue to hope for the best. Louisiana Derby, 14 of them. And it's a nice mix and match from the two divisions of the Risen Star plus some Invaders.
Undoubtedly. I mean, it's a good mixture of mid-range types, I would say. There's no standout. I mean, I think if you're somebody that's a big believer in buyer speed figures, you're going to be inclined to bet Wells Bayou, who ran very well in the aforementioned Southwest. I thought he set a very strong pace and stayed on quite well. He's a horse that was the first time he was able to run on a fast track, and he reacted very positively. So I think you should feel good about that. Certainly Florent Giroux being on board in the inside post is going to put him in an advantageous position, even though there is a relatively elongated run to the first turn with the extended distance of a mile and 3/16. I think Wells Bayou is a major player. I also thought Royal Act was very dangerous, having reacted well to the switch to dirt after making a couple of starts on the turf to begin his career for Peter Ertin. Peter Ertin has shipped to Fairgrounds successfully in the past. He won the New Orleans Handicap last year. And Royal Act, of course, ran into Thousand Words, who, even though Thousand Words disappointed a bit in the San Felipe, has certainly shown that he's a horse with some quality. And Royal Act feels like a horse that will only benefit from a little bit more ground. He certainly stayed on well in the Bob Lewis, and I think he ends up being very much a major player. I guess the horse to beat is Enforceable, who didn't really have the greatest of trips in the Risen Star. He didn't have a big pace to run at like he did in LeCompte, and he certainly didn't save any ground. But that's, of course, a risk that you're going to take with this horse. He's kind of a long-striding, one-run type that is generally going to need things to go in front of him a little bit. And, I mean, I think what would really benefit him most is if there was any kind of pace battle. Now, I know that NY Traffic showed some speed in the Risen Star. I'm not positive what his status is for this race, because I know Saez, I think, said he was not going to go anywhere by plane. So I don't know if he's planning on running. If he does run, then clearly things can set up well for the off-the-pace types, because with the blinkers on and Saez taking the mount back, you would imagine that New York Traffic's going to show quite a bit of speed, and that would certainly hook. If he hooks up with Wells Bayou, you're going to see this thing heat up quite a bit. It should put Modernist on the outside looking in, and quite honestly, a Modernist was a very fortunate winner of that division of the Risen Star. It was clearly the weaker division. I think it was the weaker division going in. I definitely think it was coming out, and he was helped a great deal by the pace. So I'm going to expect him to take a little bit of a step backwards in a situation where it looks like nothing's going to go his way, whereas last time everything went his way, and this is a classic version of if you miss the wedding, don't go to the funeral. And this one is going to be half the price of what he was last time.
So who do you want to use in here? Stack them up.
I mean, I would definitely use, I would use Enforceable. I would use Royal Act. I would use Wells Bayou as A's. I would probably back up with Chestertown, and who I didn't talk much about, but he's going to be a little bit of a wise guy type off of his bad trip last time. And Silver State definitely is backups.
Nice. Nice. All right. Let's back it up.
So I would also find a way to throw Major Fett in there as well. I'm not positive that a mile and 3/16 is going to be ideal for him, but I do like Rosario getting on board. And like I said, if there's any pace, then this horse is going to be helped significantly.
Well, and certainly, you know, certainly for minor shares at the least, if you're building,
sure,
if you're building your try and super tickets. And, I'm glad to hear you talk about Royal Act that way. Cause to me, he makes a lot of sense. And, the pedigree with him, just and the running style with him, the way he just kept grinding away in the Lewis, says, you know, that the mile and 3/16 should really, you know, benefit him. I'm sure I'll key off of him, and that price should probably hold.
Yeah, I would
pretty
think so.
I think
10-1 or so. Yeah, I think so.
Nice. Is Finite getting beat?
It's going to be tough for anybody to. I guess there's going to be some support for Bonnie South, but boy, Bonnie South really got the best of it in that one other than last time. And I know you're going to hear at length about She Dares the Devil having come back and won the Honey Bee, but I actually thought She Dares the Devil ran a better race than Bonnie South. So, I mean, what could beat Finite? Maybe it's somebody that has speed that she just sort of, somehow Ricardo Santana lets that horse go and they don't really reel her in. So maybe Stop Shop and Tammy, but boy, that's going to be a bit. It's going to take a big, big jump in class to happen. So I'm expecting Finite to win. I thought Finite was excellent last time. I thought the Silver Bullet Day was a very, very modest performance at best. And I felt like British Idiom would pretty much put Finite in her place last time. And she didn't. Finite ran great. And I think that she's going to get a very similar trip in this race. And I just, you know, Finite's a horse that I've liked a lot since she ran second to Mrs. Danvers last year at Saratoga, and I hope that she stays this good. It is very encouraging that this barn generally keeps horses this good because, you know, this is a horse, on the other hand, who it's really unfortunate that the Oaks is going to be four months later because she was working her way to maybe not favoritism, but getting pretty close to it with these consistently strong performances that seemingly make her look better with each passing start.
Take a look at the Moniz, and Marcus made the case earlier, Nick, that with the rail coming down today, inside is so advantageous, you know, whenever this happens, and that the horses that are outposted are going to be compromised to some degree. This is a 13-horse field with 3-to-1 favorite Synchrony in the 12 hole. Joe Bravo, you know, certainly knows how to, you know, work with the veteran. Channel Maker in here too. The both horses from Chad Brown look, you know, very playable and look like win candidates. Seems like those four are the what you got to work with.
Yeah, those seem like the major players. They're certainly the principals at the very least. I would say that, I mean, I guess in still regard as the horse to beat. His third place finish in the Pegasus World Cup turf is clearly the best running line in the race. I thought he had a great trip that day. I bet him and I thought he had really everything go his way and just wasn't quite good enough. But I don't think there's any shame in losing to kind of a perfect trip Zulu Alpha and the globe-trotting superstar Magic Wand. So I think it's hard to hold that against him. I think that he should get a very good trip, probably tucked in right behind the leaders in here. As Marcus alluded to, when the rails come down at Fairgrounds, the inside part of the turf is just, it's pristine. And Factor This just skipped over it last time in the Fairgrounds handicap and was a wire-to-wire winner. And, you know, I would imagine that that's what he's going to do, try and do again. I think his stablemate, Dot Matrix, may try and protect that inside a little bit. I certainly hope that he does. My heart is with Dot Matrix, being that he's owned by our friend Marshall Graham. This is a homebred of his that that moved to the barn of Brad Cox and has really taken off quite a bit. So I'm going to hope that he can maybe outrun expectations. He was a good winner last time in the John Connolly at Sam Houston. He did sit on top of an extremely slow pace in there, but you know, Dot Matrix is kind of a grinder, and if he can hold that inside position and not have to make up too much ground, I think he'll be in a very good spot. So, I mean, I guess I would probably key on Instilled Regard and expect that he's going to be able to find a way. Beyond that, I don't really have anybody overly clever. I think this is a good time to bet against Synchrony, even though he sort of fits the profile of what I like. He rallied into a slow pace last time and is getting a little bit more ground to work with. The interesting thing about Synchrony is that he's at his best in a faster-paced race where he can lay back and make one run. When it turns into a grinder's race, he's actually very average. And last year's Muniz is kind of an example. Granted, he probably wasn't going to beat Bricks and Mortar, but you look at his running lines and you realize, yeah, this is a horse that kind of wants to just let it all happen in front of him and then make a rally. And that is not going to be afforded to him this time around. So I think it'll just be a matter of how you want to approach it in terms of what you think the pace is going to end up doing. But clearly the Brad Cox trainees really control a great deal of this race from a pace perspective. The other Chad Brown horse, Rock Emperor, is a horse that I think a lot of people looked forward to betting back after the Belmont Derby last year, in large part because even though the pace was pretty strong, he made the only meaningful off-the-pace move. And then he came back in the Saratoga Derby and was absolutely horrendous. It was a horrible performance at 5-2, never made a run, really ran like he wasn't even there, and now comes back off the long layoff. This barn does great with just about every category on the turf, but this is a horse who probably is going to end up needing a race, and I think you might catch him a little bit down the line. I mean, hell, who knows what's going to happen with the stakes schedule nationwide, but this is a horse that you might see in a grade one spot if he can get back to that Belmont Derby form maybe sometime in the midsummer.
Well, and coming back off that kind of a layoff, you know, as a much different, older four-year-old, you know, you can project, you know, the certain degree of improvement. I'd like this kind of horse, you know, just because, you know, even off the layoff, it's just, you know, natural development of a horse will make him that much better. And certainly it's not like Chad can't win off, you know, the layoff like this, but, you know, I'm compelled to at least protect with him. As well, let's talk about the New Orleans Classic. And actually, the conversation I had with Marcus, we didn't talk about the Benson, the eighth, that kind of that fell through the cracks. And it's actually in a pretty good race. So give us a New Orleans Classic thought. And what do you do with Pletcher and Fearless in here? And then the Benson.
Well, I mean, you know, I hope that Fearless runs, because even if his jockey ends up staying home, I mean, this is a horse that's really in a very, I would say, kind of a garden spot, being that he looks like the controlling speed. He's got no speed inside of him, and is a horse that should benefit from getting more ground. I mean, this is a, a Gozapper in the dam side. Of course, the NY Knot was a Helen Groves horse that Mike Match trained.
Yep.
That some idiots like me bet in the Kentucky Oaks or wanted to bet in the Kentucky Oaks. She'll finish any second now. But the point being, of course, that she was just a classic sort of grinding, you know, bottomless type that would really lead you to believe that Fearless has a lot of improvement in him. So, I mean, I hope he goes. I think he's clearly the horse to beat. I'm not enamored with any of these horses. I don't really love Silver Dust as much. At a mile and an eighth is maybe a little bit shorter. I know that kind of seems like you're splitting hairs, but I think he likes a mile to a mile and a 16th. He's also a horse that has, and this is kind of a ridiculous story last time, that he carried less weight because he had been disqualified from the time before. Hopefully, whatever that medication is that they were using has exited the barn. But I think both Brett Calhoun trainees, both he and By My Standards, are dangerous. I thought By My Standards' comeback was very good. He did what he was supposed to do. He was two other than eligible and took advantage of that condition. So I think that he's dangerous because he can probably sit right on top of the pace like he did last time. But, you know, depending on who ends up riding Fearless, if he shows up and Irad doesn't make the trip, I mean, I can imagine that somebody like Florent Giroux would potentially get this mount. And if he does, then I'd be even more convinced that Fearless is going to go wire to wire.
Hmm. How about the Benson?
Good race. You know, clearly, again, a situation where I think you're not looking at a standout. I think it's going to be, I mean, favoritism in this thing is probably going to be somewhere around 3-1 or so with Altea. Altea ran great in the Endeavor. One of the things that we talk about with regards to Tampa quite a bit is that if you save ground, you have a big, big advantage. It's a turf course that doesn't really have any banking. When Altea was able to save a great deal of ground around the turn and into the stretch and came up just short of Jehoshaphat. But this is another situation where we're talking about the rail placement on the turf and, you know, sort of whether it isn't advantageous to be inside. Dream Passage is the horse, is the one to catch no matter what. And she'll be very dangerous from that inside post if she's able to get loose. And there's not a lick of early speed in here beyond her. So look for Florent Giroux to try and dictate terms from the inside. And this is a race that Brad Cox won last year and then came back and won on Derby Day with Beau Recall. There's going to be no Derby Day, but this is a horse I think that could have some potential. Dream Passage is just a good New York bred, but this is a $100,000 open race for her is a realistic spot. And I think if, like we said, if that inside part of the turf is good, then she moves up quite a bit.
Anything else on the card that caught your eye?
You know, the race before that Benson is a good maiden race. There wasn't really anybody I was dying to bet. But I was interested to see how Mystic Guide came back and how Verb would run after good performances. And these look like relatively solid 2 to 3-year-olds, a lot of them going long. And so I was just really intrigued, I think, by watching that. So we'll see how, if any of them can make any decent amount of improvement. And I'm no other than that. I mean, the 5.5 furlong turf race was, I thought, kind of a minefield. The Louisiana bred race, it always is with a big field. And I'm going to find a way to use Win Lion Win, who is a horse that's got his form darkened quite a bit with some dirt races, but he's much, much better on the turf. So this is a horse that's run very well at Fairgrounds on the turf in the past, including winning this race at 6-1 last year. So he's in a tough spot. There's some good horses in there, but I think he's one that you can probably throw a couple of bucks on, knowing that I think a lot of people are going to go other directions just based on the way he's been running.
Nick Tamaro, I appreciate it, and stay safe, you and the wife and the baby, and we will convene next week. Hopefully we got a Florida Derby card to talk about, and of course, you know, one of our favorite things to do is to make fun of Pat Cummings ahead of the Dubai World Cup. That's a tradition like none other.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's giving everybody an unprecedented amount of material nowadays. So, and Dubai also. Right.
Yeah. And then there, that's right. And then there's Dubai. Nick, I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Sounds great, Steve. Thank you. Good luck, everybody. Stay safe.
NTAMM, NTAMM, 1215. Nick Tamaro. Let's take a break. And we got Scully and DeRosa to find. And we've got Chris Griffin, Sam Houston Race Park. They've managed to persevere and are just, what, another week of their meet. It's been really an important year for them. So looking forward to talking to Chris as well this morning. back after this at the races weekend preview here on SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA